water, and Jesus walking on the water, and Peter walking on the water as well. And the focus that we went with this morning was to be prepared before the winds and the waves of life come. And that was the whole emphasis this morning. The subject title was Ordinary People with Ordinary Problems with an Extraordinary Power of God, because oftentimes our ordinary problems turn into extraordinary problems. They kind of balloon up. Amen. It's like a balloon loan. Amen. And Matthew 14, I'm going to read verses 23 through 24, and I'm going to ask you to jump in with me from 25 to 27. And it is my prayer that we may be able to get at least two or three of those verses under wraps tonight before it gets too late. Matthew 14, 22, the Bible says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary." And you guys join in with 7. "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and he cried out for fear." Amen. You think about that. What would you do in that situation? Read verse 27 with me. "But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Amen. Don't you wish that Jesus would tell us that sometimes beforehand? Amen. Before we get scared, amen. And by the way, he does. Amen. We just don't bring it into mind until afterwards. Father, bless now tonight as we look at a couple more verses here in Matthew's account of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, may we understand and discern what you would have us to understand and discern tonight. And I pray when it's all said and done, we may leave differently than we came in. Lord, a little bit more knowledgeable about the winds and the waves that we will face, the adversity that is there. And Lord, the great need to be prepared before the winds and the waves come. We thank you again for loving us, Lord. Watch over us, guide us, and direct us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And amen. You may be seated. So looking at this area again, we talked about how we're ordinary people with ordinary problems. And I read 1 Corinthians 10:13 this morning, and it says this: "There hath no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man." And I didn't finish the whole verse, but I just wanted to focus on that common to man. The problems that you have and the problems that I have, everybody has. By the way, if you're in China, they still have the same problems. If you're in Greece, they still have the same problems. If you're in Russia, they still have the same problems. They may vary slightly, but it's still the same problems. Amen. There are no new problems under the sun. They're all common, and they are shared by us all. Amen. You may have a flat tire today. I may have one tomorrow. I may get sick today. You may get sick tomorrow. Amen. I may have a gallstone today. You may have a gallstone tomorrow. Amen. I may get cancer in the toe tomorrow. You may get cancer in the tooth tomorrow. Amen. It's all common, and it's all there, and it all can happen to us at any time. Amen. And the Bible says this: "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." But you know what we always say when strange things like that happen? Why me? And you know what the answer should come back? Why not you? Better you than somebody else. At least you got God to help you out with it. The average person doesn't have that strength, amen. We've got the word of God, and we've got God to help us through it, amen. So who better to go through the dilemma than us, amen? And oftentimes, that's what we think. Why me? Why now? Why ever? Amen. And so we're talking about the winds and the waves here, and we gave this application. The ship can represent our lives. The wind and the waves can represent the problems of life. And then Peter can represent the victorious Christian overcoming problems by faith in the power of God. And I mentioned this this morning because I wanted to make sure that you and I understand there is preparation we can have. The first 2 points dealt with that idea. Tip number one, this is how to prepare for the winds and the waves of life. Consider the value of the extraordinary promise. Number one, that's what we got to do. Consider the extraordinary promise. What did Jesus say? Verse 22, he says, "Get into a ship, go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away." Did Jesus know they could do it? Yes. Did he know they should do it? Yes. Did he know they would do it? Yes, with his help. With his help. And I mentioned this, the promise, we have to value the promises. We had the promises of I am with you, and I read you several verses that said, I am with you. And then we had the promise that I will not fail thee nor forsake thee, and I read you several verses about that. And when the winds and the waves of life come up, you and I have got to remember that God is with us. I mean, there's a reason why it's Manuel, God with us, amen? We have the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts by faith, and the Spirit of God should enable us to be able to handle the winds and the waves that come, because by the way, they will come. You can't stop the winds and the waves. No more you can stop the wind outside. How many of y'all think you can stop the wind outside? It's not going to happen. How many of y'all think you can stop the rain? Not going to happen. How many think you can stop the sunshine? It's not going to happen. Amen. It's not going to happen. And so when it comes to the wind and the waves, I find it ironic that the very thing that frightened them was not so much the water, but the wind and the waves. Notice down there in verse number, verse 24. The ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with what? Waves, for the wind was contrary. They were afraid more of the waves and the wind and the idea of what it would do in knocking them overboard. And by the way, sometimes when problems come, we're more afraid of what the problem itself may do to us after the fact. Amen. What is it going to do? Is it going to send me into a tailspin? Is it going to set me back somehow? And so they're afraid of the winds and the waves because they are contrary. Contrary means hitting them slam in the face. And y'all ever had one of those big time fans that blows really hard? Or better, yeah, you ever tried to jog when the wind is blowing against you? How does that feel? Feel like you're fighting a losing battle, amen? What is it, what do you like though? If you're going this way and the wind is blowing in your face, what are you looking forward to? Turn around, going back. Turn around going back. Why? Because wind's in your back now and you feel good. They had the opportunity to turn back because the wind was contrary. It would have been more feasible to turn around and go back and wait till the wind got done. But what did Jesus tell them to do? Go to the other side. So to come back would have been what? Disobedience. Disobedience. And so we found there was a promise of I am with you and the promise of I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. That was the value of the extraordinary promise. Then we find out the next tip to prepare for the winds and the waves of life is to consider the vitality in ordinary prayer. It says down in verse 23 that when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. And so we found out that he is apart in prayer and he's alone in prayer, and the vitality in ordinary prayer is astounding. By the way, that is tapping into the power of God when you pray, and more importantly, when you pray the word of God back to God and remind him that he said he would never leave you nor forsake you, that he said he would never fail you. Reminding God of what he said. Lord, you said, Lord, I am with you always. That's what you said, Lord. The winds are here, the waves are here. Lord, it's picking up. You said you'd be with me, and I'm counting on you. And by the way, God is never going to break his promise. Amen. And so that is the value of this promise and the vitality in ordinary prayer. And then number three, we said because of this, we can prepare for the winds and the waves of life because of the velocity of ordinary problems. Verse 24, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. The velocity of ordinary prayer, the winds and the waves are going to come, and they're going to be unannounced, they're going to be uncontrollable, and they're going to be unexpected. Problems are going to come just that way. I mentioned this. How many of y'all planned on ordering some problems for tomorrow? Nobody in line for that? Children, of course, you want some problems tomorrow, right? Problems in school? Especially not math problems, huh? Amen. You know, we don't stand in line. We don't say, Lord, give me some problems, please, and supersize it. No, nobody does that? No, why not? Because we don't like problems. But guess what? They're going to come uncontrollable, unannounced, and unexpected. How many of y'all plan on having a flat? But guess what you're going to have one of these days? A flat. How many of y'all plan on your battery dying? But guess what's going to happen one day? Battery's going to die. That already happened to you, amen. And it normally happens at the most inopportune times. I was doing some things the other day, and the water was all over underneath the sink. I said, I don't need this at this time. It was unexpected. It was uncontrollable. Amen. And it was unannounced. Amen. And I was unhappy. Amen. And I blame my children for it. Amen. They said everything happens to us. That's because y'all do everything. Amen. But the velocity of ordinary problem, they're going to come. Amen. And so we have to understand that. Amen. Which brings us to point number four here. And now these are no more tips to prepare for the winds and the waves. But now we have to look at what's going on with the wind and the waves and what advantages do we have. And so point number four is this: the vicinity of the extraordinary person of Christ. The vicinity. Jesus is always near. I like that song. Jesus is near. How can I fear? Jesus is near. He ever watches over me. Worries all cease. He gives me peace. How can I fear with Jesus? Amen. I love that song. Amen. The vicinity of the extraordinary person of Christ. Notice verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. By the way, did y'all realize that people can't walk on water unless it's frozen? People can't walk on water, okay? So let's establish that. It says, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And so I want us to notice several things about the vicinity of the extraordinary person, because when the winds and the waves of life come, Jesus is always there. He is not far away. He knows what's going on. Number one, I want you to notice that time is no separation. It says between the fourth watch there in verse number 25. And in the fourth watch is between 3 and 6 a.m. So sometime between that time, I don't know what time Jesus dispatched them and told them to go on before the multitudes were sent away. But obviously, there's a great length of time that has elapsed here. And it's between 3 and 6 in the morning. How many of y'all get afraid when you wake up at night at about 3 or 6 in the morning and it's dark and you can't see anything and you hear a noise? And especially you hear the noise downstairs or another room and you know everybody's asleep. Amen. You get the bat, or you get the taser, or you get the shotgun if you're Brother Neil. Amen. And you go and you walk down the hallway with the bat in one hand, the light in your teeth, and the Smith & Wesson over here. And you're looking, amen. You're afraid. I know. I said, wait a minute. The alarm didn't go off. So somebody done got in this house. I remember the story Alfred King told several years ago about that. Amen. I'm not going to go in that one. Amen. But something's going on. And I tell you what's the truth. You get afraid. And so this is, time is no separation here. Time is no problem. It's the fourth watch, and he knows their distress. Remember, we read that but. Notice in verse number 23 again. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But there's that showing that contrast here. But the ship was down in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. Jesus is alone praying. He's by himself. He's apart. But at the same time, he recognizes that the disciples are in trouble, and it's between 3 and 6 in the morning. Amen. And time is no separation. He knows they need his assistance, and he is Johnny on the spot. So the vicinity of the extraordinary person, Jesus Christ, is always on time, and time doesn't separate him from our needs when the winds and the waves pick up. And we have to realize that Jesus is never too busy for us. Amen. We think, well, I won't bother him with this. You better bother him. Peter didn't have any problem bothering him. Amen. He said, Lord, save me. Amen. Bother him. It's okay. You say, but he might get mad at me. Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. What does all mean? All means all. Amen. And so time is no separation there. But then also distance is no separation. Notice what it says down in that verse again. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus did what? Went unto them. So time is no separation, but distance is no separation. Jesus had to go a long way from his point of prayer, by the way, on the shore, to get to them. He was on the shore. He wasn't praying on the sea, by the way. If you go back, we're to say he went to go pray in verse 23. He went up into a what? A mountain to pray apart, alone. But the ship was where? In the midst of the sea, and was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus did what? He went unto them. So distance is no separation. Jesus doesn't care how far he needs to go to help you. Amen. Why? Because he knows the winds and the wave of life are going to overwhelm us at times. It's going to happen. His disciples are in jeopardy. He told them to go to the other side. He sees that they're panicking. Amen. Now, by the way, do you think that if this account stopped right there, were they going to sink? Where did Jesus tell them to go? Did he give them his word? He said, go to the other side. So where do you think they was going to go? Was there a need to panic? Did he say, I'm with you always. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Never fail thee. So they were going to the other side. But guess what they did anyway? Panic. Don't we do the same thing? We know what Jesus says. We know what he has. We know the provisions, but we still panic. Oh, you forgot about me. Oh, amen. Hey, I remember when I was a baby Christian, I thought, what if the Lord, the rapture happens and he forgets me? He gets everybody but me. I got scared. I thought, man, the rapture's going to happen. I'm going to see my wife go up and I'm going to catch her by the heel. Amen. You ain't leaving me. Come back here. I'm hitching a ride. Amen. I'm going to glory. See her going up. You bet I get raptured without me. Amen. Catch you by the heel. I'm catching a ride. Amen. What did I fail to do? I failed to read the word of God. He said that he would get me. He said he would take me. That's his job. My job is just to wait until he comes. Amen. I don't have to catch her heel. Amen. And so distance was no problem. Jesus found them. He had to go out on the lake. In the midst of darkness, he went to them. Amen. By the way, go over to John chapter 14. I like this verse here, John 14. And we can bank on this, amen. John 14, you know that's the area he says, in my Father's house are many mansions, were not so I would have told you so, amen. And then he says, I go to prepare a place for you. Notice down there in verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions, were not so I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will what? I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So what are we talking about here? He's able to find us. Distance is no problem. Amen. It doesn't matter the time. Time is no separation. Distance is no separation. It's no consequence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows that. Matter of fact, the disciples said, hey, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? He said, this same Jesus, which has come, gone up, he's going to come again. The same one, not a duplicate, not another one, amen. But not only is distance not a separation and time not a separation, but then obstacles are no separations either. I'll go back to Matthew 14 and notice down there in verse number 25 again. And the fourth watch of the night, that's the time, Jesus went unto them, that's the distance. And what was he doing? Walking on the sea. Jesus didn't have a boat. And neither did he get somebody else's boat. But what did Jesus do? He walked on the sea. Obstacles are no separation. Jesus doesn't matter what lengths he's got to get to you and I. He's going to get there. The winds and the waves may be there. They may be going left and right, but distance is no problem for him. Time is no problem. Obstacles are no problem. Are we going to have difficulties come up? Are we going to have waves of adversity in life? Yes. We're going to have winds of adversity. Yes, yes, and yes. But you find here, Jesus understands that they're in jeopardy. He understands the winds are contrary. He understands the waves are contrary. He understands that they're in the midst of the sea. They're at the halfway point. He understands that they're tossed with the waves, and he is going to get them no matter the time, no matter the distance, no matter the obstacle. But then I want us to notice something else here, not just the vicinity of the extraordinary person, but the vision of ordinary people in verse 26. When you get afraid, you see things that really aren't there. How many ever had that happen? I remember one time my wife and I went up to Mount Lemmon and we went hiking. And they said, be careful. There's been a mountain lion sighting. So we got our sticks, got our Moses rods, and we went hiking. And as we walked, shh, shh, you hear that? And we heard this I said, it's a mountain lion. And we got scared. We thinking, where can we run? You know, and I was trying to be brave. I'll protect you, honey. I've got the stick. And what I was really thinking is, I hope this stick works. It's going to break. And as we walked, it seemed like it was getting closer. This growl was getting closer, and it was getting closer. And we were out there petrified in the middle of the trail. Don't bite us, don't bite us. And we're looking all around. And come to find out, it was a motorcycle. But we were scared. It was a motorcycle. You'd be surprised what happens when you get afraid. And all somebody had to tell us was there's been a sighting. We start listening for any kind of noise that was going on. Knowing probably the guy ain't going to growl at us and get us. He's just going to pounce on us. Amen. But notice the vision of ordinary people. The vision of ordinary people. Notice verse 26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. Sometimes when problems arise, the very ones that can help us that we visualize, we're afraid of. You ever notice that? The ones that can help us, we're afraid of. Teenagers have that phobia. The very ones that can help them, their parents, they're afraid of. Yeah, you ever notice that when you were a teenager, amen? The ones that you should have gone to, well, I don't want to tell mom and dad this, they might, whatever. Well, if I tell mom and dad, they may say whatever. Well, if I tell this to mom and dad, they may do whatever. And the very ones that can help us, we're afraid of oftentimes, amen? You break down, the very ones you should be looking for is a cop. Nowadays, we're afraid of the cops, amen? They might beat me up, amen? Police brutality, amen? I'm a black man with a beanie cap on, amen? And I'm bald head or whatever, and he might beat me up. We got all these phobias out there. Now, some are justified to a degree, amen? But the fears come. Teenagers need their parents' help, and trouble comes and they run and they duck. Cops, we need their help, amen. As a matter of fact, you get the Border Patrol agents or Tamra, Border Patrol agents out there. And the ones that are illegally in need of help, guess who they run from? The Border Patrol agents. And they end up dying in the desert because of fear they might get deported back to Mexico, amen. The very ones that can help them. And so imagine this. The wind is contrary, meaning it's in their faces. They're trying to row, but getting nowhere. The wind and the waves pushing them back this way and back this way. I see somebody approaching that way. And I've learned by experience that men don't walk on water. And so just imagine that the wind, the waves are pushing them back. Behind them, someone or something is getting closer on water. The fish are in the sea, not on the sea. And these are grown men that we're talking about here. These are experienced fishermen we're talking about. Brother Neil, how would you feel out there hunting one day and you see a grizzly bear coming to you with a gun? And he's smiling at you. That's not supposed to happen. Grizzly bears don't have guns and they don't shoot. Or what happens if you go deer hunting next time and the deer stands up on hind legs with a gun coming at you? Or worse, you go duck hunting and the ducks all come out with guns. Quack, quack, quack. That's not supposed to happen. And so if you saw that, you would be definitely afraid. I know I would. You know, Bugs Bunny comes out and his whole clan with a bunch of guns. It's not supposed to happen that way. Although if you watch Bugs Bunny, it does happen that way, amen? And so their reception of this whole scene here, they saw him walking on the sea. Notice this, verse 26 again. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, their reception, they're thinking, what in the world? The wind is in my face. I cannot go forward. I'm going backwards. Contrary winds are here. I'm looking back here and I see a ghost walking on the water. And these are 12 grown men. 12 grown men in a boat. You would think they would say, we can take this guy. But they're scared. Because real people don't walk on water, amen? So we probably can't take this one. Their reception of the whole thing. But then notice not only their reception, but their reasoning. He says down there, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. Their reasoning, they were troubled, saying, this is a spirit. In other words, it's a ghost. This is the spirit of a dead person. This is a phantom. It basically is the word. It's a phantom. How many of y'all know what phantoms are? Phantom of the Opera, amen. And we don't like phantoms, do we? These are grown men thinking this is a phantom. Why? Because men don't walk on water. And the animals definitely don't walk on water. and the fish don't walk on water. So what in the world is this? Now, you would think somebody would be spiritual enough to say, maybe Jesus has come to help us. But guess what? The ones that normally can help us, we're afraid of oftentimes. Brother Neil, I hate to say it, but oftentimes the pastor can help people and they're afraid to come to the pastor for fear of what he might say. The very one they should come to, they're afraid of. Jesus, the very one that they should be not afraid of, and they are afraid of him. Disciples saw him walking on the sea. They were troubled, saying it's a spirit. Their reception, their reasoning, but then notice their reaction. And they cried out for fear. I wonder who cried the loudest. Help! 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 Peter might have said, ah, ah! Row faster! Row faster! We ain't getting nowhere! The wind's contrary. It's blowing in my face. I can't go forward, but it's getting closer. Row, give me them oars. He still ain't going nowhere. He's still catching up. Anybody got a rock? Jews love throwing stones. Can you imagine this scene at this time? All because Jesus told us to get in this boat and go to the other side, and now we're chased by a ghost. Well, William Burkett says this: the disciples took their deliverer to be a destroyer. Their fears were highest when their deliverer and deliverance was nearest. The nearer Jesus was, the greater was their fear. Interesting, huh? The very one that can help them. They said it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. A spirit is an apparition, an unreal person, or a ghost or a disembodied spirit. And so their reaction to all this, they cried out in fear. Their reasoning was it's a ghost. Their reception is that man don't walk on water. But then this last point, we're just going to tap this just a little bit. The voice of the extraordinary person. Jesus sees all this. And, you know, I believe Jesus has a sense of humor. As he's getting closer and they're screaming for bloody murder. Don't kill us. Don't kill us. Don't eat us. Be of good cheer. It's me. It's I. I can just see him. They say, they don't even know who I am. They're, Peter is about to touch the boat. It's dark. Guess what? They don't have stoplights out there. They don't have any moonlights out there. And the wind's blowing, so we don't know if it's cloudy or not. But the one thing we do know, they can't see good, but they see good enough to know it's somebody walking on water. And it must be a spirit. In the beginning of the chapter, John the Baptist got beheaded, so maybe it's John. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. The voice of the extraordinary person. You know, Jesus always is going to come and give us a word. When the winds and the waves howl and they blow all over the place, he's always going to come and give us a good word. Be of good cheer. It is I. Straightway means directly, immediately. He wasted no time. Notice it says, but straightway. I like it. Verse 24, but the ship was now in the midst. That's immediately after Jesus prayed and got way. And notice how this goes. Verse 22, straightway Jesus did what? Constrained his disciples to get into his ship. Notice down there, verse 22, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea. And then notice down there in verse 27, but straightway Jesus spake. So Jesus said, you know what? I straightway constrained you guys getting there. I've been up praying. I've been alone. The waves came up contrary. The same time I'm praying, I came to you. Distance was no factor. Time was no factor. Obstacles were no factor. I'm walking on the sea. It is I. Be not afraid. Let me quickly let you know that while you're crying out for fear, that you have no reason to fear. How many of y'all used to watch Underdog? Yeah. There's no need to fear. Underdog is here. I used to love watching that. I used to love watching Underdog series, man. Underdog always came to save the day. Always came. There's no need to fear. And Polly was always in trouble with something. Polly reminds me of the disciples. Underdog reminds me of Jesus. Amen. Polly was always, Polly purebred, always in trouble. We're always in trouble, it seems. The winds are always blowing. The waves are always blowing. And we're crying. And Jesus says, there's no need to fear. I'm here. Be of good cheer. It's okay. It's okay. It is I. Be not afraid. Nothing but the voice of Christ could in these circumstances have given courage and comfort to the disciples. Hearing that still small voice, hearing him amidst the wind, hearing him amidst the waves, amen. When we're tossed and grievously affected and tossed with difficulties and temptations, and we require something, the voice of God should be sufficient. It should be sufficient to hear his voice say, it is I. Be of good cheer. You say, preacher, I can't hear verbally his voice. You don't need to. It's right there in the spirit. You'll whisper it to your heart. When the winds pick up and the waves pick up, it is I. Be of good cheer. Be not afraid. When Jesus proclaims that, that's all we really need to hear. Again, these are grown men. These are grown men. 12 of them on top of that. Normally there's strength in numbers. Isn't that right, G? At Golden State, there's strength in numbers. There's 12 of them. But they're all afraid. If you look at that, and at the end of verse 26, who cried out for fear? They cried out for fear. So that means all of them had a part in that. Now, who cried the loudest? If it was me, probably I would have. If somebody don't do something quick, we going down. This thing is getting closer. But you would think after all they've been through with the Savior, they would know he's capable of doing something like this. And you would think that if he told them to go to the other side, he's capable of coming to them. You would have thought that after all that they've been through together, they would know that that had to be him. Because natural man don't walk on the water. But he is no natural man. He is God. And so they should have known that this was not a spirit. They should have known that Jesus was there. They should have known that if the winds and the waves were contrary and they were in jeopardy, that he would show up. He'd be there. Christian, we should know the same thing. We should know that when the winds and the waves pick up, that Jesus is going to be there. We should know that he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. We should know that he's always been there in the past and he will continue to be there in the future. And when the waves and the winds howl and when we see someone approaching and we've got to trust that it's Jesus Christ to deliver us when we get to those situations, there's going to be some dark times in our life when it's going to be dark, just like it was dark here. And we're not going to be able to see clearly. We've got to trust the Lord. We've got to trust him. They couldn't see what was going on, but they had to trust that God was going to protect them and he would keep them safe. And the winds and the waves would not get the advantage of them because he would deliver them. When you and I go through the situations in our lives, when the winds and the waves of life seem to overtake us, our reception has got to be, God is walking on the water to come to me. My reasoning has got to be, he wants to help me. And I've got to understand that my reaction should be, it is him. I shouldn't be afraid. I shouldn't be afraid. Now, might we get afraid anyway? We might. But I'm so glad that he says, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And when it's all said and done, Peter jumps out of the boat and walks on water. But he still goes, starts sinking. But guess what? Jesus reached down and picks him up. And I like how Jesus did that. Immediately he did that. What's the encouragement for us? We haven't gotten to the part where he gets out of the boat yet. We'll pick that up here on Wednesday. But the one thing that I want to leave you with tonight is oftentimes when we need the Lord the most, we're afraid to go to him. Here he is approaching them. The winds and the waves are contrary. He's walking on the sea. They're troubled by what they see because they're not seeing with spiritual eyes. And we've got to see with spiritual eyes. And we've got to see with the word of God. And we've got to see what God has always done for us in the past and what he wants to do in the present and what he will do in the future. The winds and the waves. We've been saved for many, many years. Janet was just telling me how long she's been saved as well. And I tell you, you know, we can go back on the times that we've been saved and say, God's been good to me and he's rescued me. And I may panic. I may scream. I may cry out like they did for fear. But as soon as I hear that voice, straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. You know, we can scare each other sometimes as well. I was coming to the door, and I was just getting ready to open the door the other night. And before I got a chance to open the door, my wife opened the door, and she liked it, jumped out of her skin. Because there I was, up in her face like that, when she opened the door. Got Joshua the same way. Opened up the door, scared Joshua to death. Got Faith the same way. I didn't know you were there. You up to no good. I got you. Huh? And we can scare each other, but we should never be frightened of Jesus. Why? He's not frightening. He's there to help us. Amen. Folks, as we leave here tonight, the vision of the ordinary people, they visualize a totally different thing as to what actually was going on. And winds and waves can make us perceive that way oftentimes. And when it all was said and done, the vicinity of the extraordinary person, Jesus, was right there. And his voice was just the voice they needed to hear. And I don't know about you, but when you're going through some tough times, pick up the word of God. Get in there and see what God's done for others in the past and what he's done for you in the past. And trust the God of the past to be the God of the present. Why? Because he'll be the God of the future. He really will. And so as you leave here tonight, make sure our vision as ordinary people is the same vision that God would have us to have. Make sure the voice of the extraordinary person we're listening for when he says, be of good cheer, it is I. By the way, be of good cheer means to have courage. Amen. If Jesus is near, how can we fear? And then making sure when it comes down to it, the vicinity of the extraordinary person of Christ. He is always there when he needs to be there. Amen. We'll tackle another one on Wednesday and trust God to work in your hearts and your midst. Don't forget, Diana Smith will be there for a couple more days. And so if you need to get down to visit her at TMC, you can. Trudy will probably be there till Thursday, so visit her, you can. And Darlene will be there a little bit longer as well. So as we're traveling these roads, share some of these things with some of those people as well. They probably need to hear some of this too. You know, Diana probably needs to hear it. Darlene may need to hear it. Trudy may need to hear it. Share with what's going on in with the sermons and the subject matter. That may be just the encouragement that they need to hear as the winds and the waves of life are howling up around them as well. Amen. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for being a God that loves us and a God that protects us and a God that watches over us. And Lord, I do pray that you would guide in our lives, Lord, that we might have the vision that we need to have, Lord, and we might listen for your voice when you say, be of good cheer, it is I. And Lord, we would understand the vicinity that you're in. You're always close at hand. Time is no separation. Distance is no separation. Obstacles, no separation. Lord, we've got to understand that you're always there. And Lord, what a great picture the disciples are learning here, that the Lord Jesus Christ is always there. And he is the master over their ordinary problems handled by ordinary people that have grown into extraordinary problems. And it's no problem for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you're always there to deliver us. You're always there to rescue us. You're always there to guide us and direct us. Lord, when it seems like the unnatural is happening around us, help us to recognize the spiritual that is taking place as well. Now you're molding us and making us to be what you would have us to be with the winds and the waves that are there. These disciples forevermore could say, I know my Savior can walk on water. I've seen him do it. And they would have the confidence and the ability to go forward proclaiming the truth of Jesus Christ and the miracles of what he has done. Many, many miracles were done in the scriptures, but none were experienced like this one. And so, Lord, I do pray that you might bless our lives, that we may look at our miracle-working God, see what he's done, Lord, and be able to allow you to work in our lives when these winds and these waves do raise up. Keep Faye safe as she flies over to Hawaii. Bring her back safely. Lord, dismiss us with your blessings. And Lord, we thank you that we've been able to be in your house tonight. Guide us and direct us. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right.